Hello and welcome in to another episode of Podcast 63. It's season 4, episode 4. Buck and Lou back again for another great episode. Hold on. What's that? Oh, he's stuck. Uh-huh. Like shoelaces stuck to the... Huh? Oh boy, that's rough. Sorry everyone. Sorry, I just got a phone call. Lou is unable to make this week's podcast. He got his shoelaces stuck in the rafters. So, unfortunately, we have no Lou this week, which means it is a Buck episode. So, I will be here talking Loyola basketball. We got some season previews coming up. I got a little bit of recruiting information I want to talk about. And then, apart from that, I want to talk a little bit about the Chicago Sky, the WNBA Finals champion. It's the Chicago Sky. I hope you guys all enjoy this episode. It might be a little shorter. It's just me, and there's not a ton of Loyola stuff to talk about. But as always, I hope you enjoy this episode. Don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Brown gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Loyola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
And we are back. All right, so like I said earlier, the first thing I want to talk about is the Chicago Sky. Shout out to all those awesome women who went out, showed out, sixth seed in the playoffs, won two elimination games just to make it into the series round, into the conference semifinals, and they took on the Phoenix Mercury, who were the higher seed again. The Sky did not have home court advantage at the whole playoffs, and they went out and they won a best of five games in four. They took the first game and then games three and four at home and won a championship, man. It was super cool. One of the reasons I want to talk about it is because I actually went to the game with my boyfriend on Friday. And we were, like, it was kind of funny. Like, probably, it was right after the Sky won the conference finals. And they were going to make it to, you know, going to the finals. And they had won, and the other series was still going on. And I kind of joked, and I was like, oh, like, we should get finals, or tickets to see the Sky in the finals. And, you know, my boyfriend was like, oh, that sounds fun. That's cool. You know, Wintrust, new stadium. It's in Chicago. You know, it's a Chicago thing. We should support the team. And I was kind of thinking about it. And I was like, well, you know, in my head, I was thinking like, okay, like, I don't want to spend a ton of money for this, right? Like, I'm not going to lie. I've never been to a Chicago Sky game. I've maybe watched like 40 minutes total of Sky basketball. Like, I follow them on Twitter. I got pretty hype when Candace Parker decided she was going to come back to Chicago and play with the Sky. Like, that's a really cool story, right? And she's such a great player. You know, one of the greatest women of all time to play basketball. So, I've been, like, a casual fan following on Twitter. You know, I see a little bit here and there. Like, I know Vandersloot, their point guard, is, like, amazing. All WNBA, like, first team, second team over the past few years. Allie Quigley's been there forever. I heard a little bit about this new Kalea Copper girl who's, like, tearing it up, especially in the playoffs. And so I was like, okay, like, it'd be fun to get some tickets, right? Like, I expect that they're gonna have a pretty packed stadium, you know, generally. Like, I didn't think to expect a sellout or anything, but I figured, like, WNBA Finals, Chicago, support the team, should be a fun atmosphere, whatever. So in my head, I'm thinking, all right, like, I pay like $60 for each ticket. That'd be like my max, right? And I didn't even look like right away. It was probably like later that day that the tickets came out, and there was like 200 max left on, I think it was Ticketmaster. And I was like, oh shoot, well, like, let me look, like, how expensive. And there was a good amount of tickets for $45 each. And it was in the 100 level, behind one of the baskets. And I was like, okay, that's, like, a pretty good deal. Let me, like, make sure we're not doing anything. No, we don't have any plans. Cool. And like, let's do it, right? Let's go. So we did. We got two tickets, great seats behind one of the baskets, $45. We went to a jerk chicken place for dinner the day before. Highly recommend. Before the game that night. Had a couple beers at the stadium. Wind Trust is great. Oh, the other reason I wanted to go is because I'm hopefully me and Lou, if he can escape the rafters at Gentile, want to go to Wind Trust to see Loyola play DePaul later in the year, right? And DePaul plays all their home games there. So I kind of wanted to scout it out, see what it was like. So we get there and the stadium's brand new. I think it's 3 years old, like max. And it was great. Parking was pretty easy. It's right by McCormick Place, so there's tons of parking. I would say they probably need a couple more food places nearby. There's only like a couple, and they had crazy long waits, so we walked a little further and, like I said, went to this jerk chicken place, which was great. And got in the game and got in the stadium a little early, grabbed a couple beers, found our seats. They had free like giveaway towels on everyone's seats, like rally towels or whatever. And right in front of us, there's a couple Phoenix fans who were obviously super excited to be there and like wanted their Mercury to win real bad. They're pretty animated. They're very nice fans, but like definitely super animated. And that game was just, it was awesome, man. It was like pretty much right from the get-go. I mean, the first quarter was a little lower scoring. I think it was like 15-9 at the end of the first quarter, something like that. Sky were winning. But that second quarter was just a whirlwind. Every, like, fast break, three-pointers, Kalei Copper was insane. Candace Parker had some nice buckets. Vandersloot had some absolute dimes. It was just so fun. Like, and it was a sellout. Also, completely sold out. It seemed like every seat had someone in it. And it was one of those Chicago things where, like, we were trying to see, like, who's here. Like, what famous Chicago people are here? We knew that, you know, it would be a big deal. And Chance the Rapper has been a pretty big supporter of the Sky. And he was there. Certain political people who I won't get into. But you can imagine political people from Chicago and the state of Illinois were there. There was some ex-NBA players. Sean Marion, I saw, was there. We saw Reverend Jesse Jackson. We saw some Bears players. It was just one of those things, right, where we're sitting there like, oh, who's that? Who's that? They look like they're somebody. They look like they're famous. But, yeah, I mean, moral of the story, man, like, it was just so fun. It was so fun. It was so cool to see a packed stadium. Mask usage was great, which is actually kind of a pleasant surprise for me or for us. And it really didn't matter. It was still loud, right? Like, you're still cheering. And it was, we were trying to figure out, actually, I'm going to look it up while I'm talking here. We were trying to figure out, like, what Wind Trust capacity was, because it didn't feel huge. 10,000 seats. Okay, it's, like, just over 10,000 seats. We were thinking it was, like, 12,000. It was packed. It felt like 15,000. It's kind of like Gentile, where it's, like, right on top of the court, too. It was so much fun. They won 86-50. It was the largest WNBA finals like margin or victory in their 25-year history. And then they went out on Sunday, had a comeback victory in the fourth quarter, and they won their first WNBA finals ever. So I will definitely be back to a Sky game. You know, it might be tough if some of those players retire or don't come back, because, like, you know, I was going because I knew about some of the players. They just have some good vets there, some good veterans. And Kalei Copper, man, they better pay her and give her what she deserves, because she is a rising star. I think she's only in, like, her third year or fourth year, but I think I read she was on her, like, up for a new contract, so, or free agent this year. So hopefully they pay her, and hopefully they get more merchandise for their store, because I knew that I actually didn't get a chance to go to the store while we were there. I was just kind of too busy, But I had heard that, like, in previous games, they had a problem. Like, they would run out of stuff, or, like, at one, I heard one time, one of the games, that they had to close the store in the third quarter because they ran out of gear. So, you pretty much can't buy any gear except for the championship gear now. They don't have anything on their store, which is great. It's great that they, like, you know, that they're making money. But on the other hand, it's like, you got to stock the store. So, but how this relates to Loyola basketball is, it just made me so excited to, like, go to, it was like a preseason game or like a warm up, right? For me as like a basketball fan, like to see a packed stadium. Obviously it's not going to be the same as Gentile, like it's professional, so it's a little different, but, coming from the open practice that they had the weekend before to then the WNBA finals, like I've just been like seeing all this, I've been able to see basketball, and, but it's not Loyola official regular season basketball. And I'm just like all leading up to that. And I'm so excited. It just makes me so, so pumped to, like, you know, it's less than a month now. It's a lot less than a month. It's, I think the first game is what, November 9th, I believe it is. It's either 7th or the 9th. So it's less than a month. It's a few weeks away. And I'm just so excited to get back in the stadium and see those guys and yell and scream and whatever. But I really wanted to talk about it because it was just it was such a fun basketball experience. I had never been to any championship sporting event ever. Like, I've been to a couple playoff games, a couple football, NFL playoff games. I've been to, no, I guess I haven't been to any baseball playoffs or any, I don't think I've been to an NBA playoff game either. So it was just such a fun experience, and I'd highly recommend it, especially during the regular season next year. I'm sure it'll be a little busier than normal, but I would think that you'd still get pretty good deals, pretty good packages if you want to go with your family or work or friends or whatever. So take a trip down to Wintrust, see a Chicago Sky game. I highly recommend it. It was super fun, and the team was awesome. So yeah. But moving on from that, get into the Loyola news. There's a decent bit of recruiting news this week. Nothing monumental, but there are just a few different tidbits. The first unfortunate thing is that Bobby Klintman, who is originally, I think, from Sweden and now is at Sunrise Christian, he made his decision. He trimmed his list down to two teams, which we made his top two. It was us and Maryland, and he chose Maryland, which is... a big bummer, for sure. He's a top 100-ish, 110 recruit. He's a four-star athlete. It is crazy that we were in his top two. It's so, like, I don't know. You never want to take, like, I don't know if you really take a moral victory from losing a recruit, but it's cool that we were in his top two. One of these years, it's going to happen. Especially if we keep being successful, and we're in Chicago, it seems like we have a great coach, a great staff around him recruiting. We have a good thing going here, and I think Klintman saw it, and it really made him think. Like, you know, it's us up against a Big Ten team, right? And he really, really considered us. So it was cool that we made it that far, but hopefully sometime soon we land one of those four-star, five-star athletes. Moving on from that, there were a couple other offers and visits. I read that there's a 6'10 center. His name's Lincoln Pelbicki from, I think, Minnesota, 2023 center, who we were interested in, went to go watch him. I don't think I'd seen an offer yet. 6'10 center out of Minnesota. Another player, Joey Hart. Joey Hart is from, where is he from? Lincoln Stockton. Is that Nebraska? Anyway, he is a 6'5 guard, class of 2023, I believe. And he, we offered him. He's got some other offers from Wichita State, Ball State. He went on a visit to Indiana, but I don't think he has been offered by Indiana yet. He went on an unofficial to Northwestern. Same thing. I don't think it that we that he's been offered. He's offered by Drake. So kind of the same sort of circles as us. He went to come or went on a visit, and we offered him. So that's something to keep our eyes on. There was another player who was at the open practice that we couldn't figure out who it was. We did end up figuring out it is Ethan Kaiser. He's from downstate Illinois. And he, I believe he was, we offered him. Or he just came on a visit. Yeah, I think he just came on a visit. I actually don't see that we offered him yet. But has some offers from like Drake and Illinois State. He's a 6'6 sort of forward. He's got super long hair. Don't know how I feel about that yet, but doesn't take away from the fact that he's a great player. And then next player, Ty Pence. He is, I believe, from Illinois as well. He went on a visit and then did get an offer from Loyola. Looks like he's a 6'6 guard, 6'6 guard forward, class of 23. Also has an offer from Drake. It seems to be a common theme here. Colorado State, Butler, Iowa State. So a little higher kind of recruit, at least for now, than some of the ones I've mentioned before. That was just on October 15th. And then in addition to those, just the 16th, so 2 days ago, Richard Barron went on a visit. I believe he got an offer as well. Let me see. I think he's like a 6'5 guard, kind of like a bulldog type, right? Like kind of like Marcus Towns, giving me like Marcus Towns vibes. 6'5 guard from St. Ignatius. He played with Mean Streets in the UIBL, and he did he get an offer? Can't seem to find if he got an offer, but he was on a visit. Would like to see that local flair. He's visited Illinois as well, University of Illinois. Can't really see an offer. Don't see an offer from them yet. So, I mean, look, the point of the story here is, and hopefully we can kind of organize this all in one place for listeners here in the short-term future. But we are super active in 2023. We will have a lot of scholarships to make up. We already have 3 commits, but we'll probably have at least 2, if not 3, more open roster spots. We probably need a big guy, some sort of center or very tall forward. And some of those like guard forward types, like those 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", types to fill in, be able to switch on ball screens, that sort of thing. So it's cool to see that we're sending out these offers. I won't say it's all local because there's some, you know, downstate Illinois, a couple out of state, but, you know, in Illinois, which is cool. We always like seeing that. Because hopefully we can jump on those sort of prospects before anyone else finds them. So that's kind of the recruiting update. Nothing huge. No, besides the Bobby Clintman thing. Nothing decisive either way. Just a lot of offers, a lot of visits, a lot of activity for sure from Coach Drew and his staff. So moving on from recruiting. One of the next kind of fun stories, national mentions we got was from John Rothstein. Every year he posts some lists like top returning shooters, top defenders, and we found our guy Lucas Williamson on his 20 glue guys to monitor during the 2021-2022 season. And for those of you who don't know what a glue guy is, and yes, I'm saying glue as in like Elmer's glue, it means like it's a player who is kind of a do-it-all guy, usually a good teammate, usually a leader, usually a veteran or like upperclassman, doesn't necessarily have to be that, but not someone who's just going to go out there and give you 25 points every game, right? That's not like their calling card. A glue guy is someone who does it all, who is often like, you know, thrown up in the stat sheet with like a bunch of points, a bunch of rebounds, a few assists, a few steals, a few blocks, that sort of thing. Which is kind of the exact definition, at least previously, these past few years, of what Lucas Williamson has done for our team as a 6'4 guard slash forward. And I'm trying to read quickly through here if there's any other mentions. Actually, the first one, DeAndre Williams, for those of you Valley fans will recognize that name. DeAndre Williams played for Evanston 2 years ago, and now he's on Memphis, and Memphis should be pretty darn good this year. He mentions DeAndre Williams. He mentions DeMonte Williams, so from University of Illinois, who we beat last year. Anytime I can get a chance to mention that we beat Illinois and are the champions of our state, I will do that. He mentions DeMonte Williams as a glue guy. Connor McCaffrey from University of Iowa, just kind of a household name at this point. Seems like he's played 9 years of college basketball. Anyone who's a fan of Gonzaga, he mentions Anton Watson, who is a great player. But moving on to sort of our guy, he says Lucas Williamson is a sturdy defender and reliable long-distance shooter. The 6'4 Williamson is back for another season as a fifth-year senior with a Final Four and Sweet 16 appearance already on his resume. Williamson's decision to return for another year is one of many reasons why the Ramblers are expected to again be one of the top mid-majors in college basketball. And I'd add on, one of the top teams in all of college basketball. But either way, it's really cool to get a mention from a guy like John Rothstein. He's well-respected, well-known, and it's cool to see our guys getting the props that they deserve. I mean, Lucas Williamson is for sure one of the most impressive players in the Valley, and he's been around for a while, and now he's sort of getting his flowers, so to say, right? Like, because he should be getting these sort of things, and I think at the end of the year, he might even get some national recognition for, like, awards, like Defender of the Year, or something to that effect, so... Great to see him mentioned. Just one sort of, or I guess they're two small news tidbits. If anyone had seen for like, I think it was up for like maybe 2 hours. I can't remember what day. It was maybe Thursday or Friday of last week. There had been a video that one of the Ramblers had posted. I hope I can talk about it. I don't see why I can't talk about it. That it was a dunk, right? It was Lil Bro, Lil Schweiger had posted this clip of a really impressive dunk, kind of like a windmill type dunk. And in the video, Schweiger dunks, and you see both T.Y. Johnson and St. Thomas, and T.Y. Johnson kind of jumps through. First thing I notice is he's not wearing a boot anymore, which is great. Hopefully he's healthy back to practice, at least on a limited basis. And the second thing I noticed was that T.Y. Johnson was wearing a gray jersey. And we have never seen, well, at least the past, you know, 5 years that I can remember, 6 years, have never had a gray jersey. And so I, like, kind of paused it and freezed it and, like, took a screenshot. And I first of all, you know, talked about, oh, impressive dunk, whatever. And then I said, oh, gray jersey, or T.Y. Johnson, no boot, also gray jerseys confirmed. And I thought it was a little strange because we hadn't seen anything about gray jerseys, but I didn't think much of it, right? Maybe it's a new jersey, or maybe it's just like a prototype, who knows? So about a couple hours later, I get a message on the podcast account. I'm not gonna say from who, just saying, hey, do you mind taking this picture down? It wasn't meant to be public yet. And I replied back, I said, absolutely, don't worry about it, it's deleted. Because, you know, I'm not here to make enemies, I don't care, right? I'm doing this for fun. Like, I just saw a jersey and posted it. But since then, there have been multiple recruits, I think 3 or 4, who have come in for visits and taken pictures with these gray jerseys. So I hope that the players really didn't get in trouble, because it seems like the next day, those jerseys were online, and it wasn't like an official release or anything. It was just the men's basketball. No, it wasn't even the men's basketball account. It was like these individual recruits posting pictures of them in the gray jerseys. So like, it was kind of this really funny situation. Me and Lou had a really good laugh about it. I hope no one was in trouble. I hope no one had to run wind sprints or anything. But they're cool jerseys. If you get the chance, I mean, they've already been posted by, like, multiple recruits, like I said. I know Richard Barron posted one of him. I think Joey Hart might have posted one of him in the gray jersey. But they're super cool. One of my favorite part about it, at least, is that where they usually our jerseys say Loyola, the gray jerseys in the cursive font say Ramblers across the chest, which I think is awesome. It's a great color combination. Usually gray is kind of hard to pull off, but I think the gray works really well with the maroon and gold. They're super fun. And yeah, if you get a chance, go check out Richard Barron's Twitter. It's one of the most recent posts from him. He looks great in it. And yeah, the gray Ramblers jerseys, man. We'll probably see him a couple times during the season. And then the last bit of news, the Loyola's Twitter and Facebook account just posted today that they have 5 games that are going to be televised on NBC Sports. The first one is opening night against Coppin State, and then the games against Florida Gulf Coast, Chicago State, and UIC will all be on NBC Sports. And the last home game, I believe, yeah, which will be on February 23rd against Evansville, which is most likely going to be senior night, will be on NBC Sports as well. NBC Sports Chicago, I should specify. But kind of always the same stance on this. It's great to have games televised. It's fun to be able to watch our guys on TV if you're not able to make the game, or if it is an away game, but none of these are away games. These are all home games. So just have great to have that option and watch games on TV if you're not able to make it to the game. So now the main part of this episode is to talk about the season previews coming up for we only have 5 teams left to talk about, and one of those is Loyola. This week I am gonna be talking about Bradley and Missouri State, which I think are teams in very different places, just kind of overall, right? Like, they're in very different positions, but they've both had successful seasons somewhat recently. And they always have high talent, high level of talent. But this year, I'll start with Bradley first. Bradley is in a really tough spot. And I don't really feel bad for them either, because I think it's mostly self-inflicted from former players and from infractions made by those players. And, you know, at some point, that has to come down to the coaching staff, right? For recruiting these players and for neglecting to help them mature, right? Like, these guys are adults too, right? So they're most at fault. For whoever doesn't know, I'm talking about there was 3 seniors last year, Elijah Childs, Daniel Kingsby, and Terry Nolan, who all got in trouble and suspended because of a police investigation about an off-campus incident. And Jayshon Henry was tied up in that at the beginning, but I think later it was proved that he wasn't there or wasn't a part of it or whatever. But you know, these 3 players were consistent players. I mean, Elijah Childs was a all Missouri Valley Conference player. Daniel Kingsby, Terry Nolan both started games on and off for them and were very key to what they're doing. And, you know, they kind of all at once weren't allowed to play anymore or were suspended. And that really just sunk the chances that Bradley could have any sort of success in Arch Madness or, you know, at the remainder of the regular season's schedule as well. And yeah, like I mentioned, like, self-inflicted, and they're still feeling, I think, the effects from it. So they lost those guys. They do have, we've mentioned before, a high-level JUCO transfer. His name is Malevi Leons, and he was the National JUCO Player of the Year last year. He is probably one of the best newcomers in the Valley, if I had any say about it. He is a great scorer. He's 6'9". He's a great scorer. He's a good rebounder and a shockingly good passer as well. I think he's going to fit right into the Valley, to be honest. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't predict that he's on any of the top three Valley teams, but he might fight for a newcomer of the year sort of thing. To be on the all newcomer team. I think he'll just get a lot of chances at Bradley, both offensively and just like the ability to be on the court, because I think they're really looking for someone to step up there. But they do have a few returners that's of note. Jayshon Henry, who's super solid for them. He is a senior this year. Ari Boya as well, center for them. He is also a senior this year. I think I saw that V.A. Tevenainen, I think that's how you say it, 6'4", guard, forward type guy. I think I read that he has a serious injury and might be out for the season. That is a huge blow for, Tevenainen suffered a foot injury. He is expected to return during the non-conference. Okay. My bad. I read that wrong. I thought he was out for the year. So, but still a difficult set of cards they're dealt for sure, from the injury standpoint at least. And it doesn't help because they are going to be looking for players to step up. And he is one of the players that has been consistent. He's a great shooter, but he is going to be missing some time at the beginning of the season. One guy I look to take a big step for them is Darius Hanna, 6'8", sophomore coming off the bench. He had a really good freshman year. He kind of stepped up and filled some of the void when some of those seniors had the legal entanglement. I think he's going to have a very productive year off the bench. I think you'll see he's kind of like an all-bench player type guy. It looks like if he just improves from the free throw line, he can add a few points per game to his repertoire. Because as I'm reading here, he was 8-for-27 last year. So sounds like some other players I know. I do think Darius Hanna is going to be a very successful player for them. I just don't have much faith in this team. I think they have the ability to beat like a top level team here and there, but I think they're going to really play down to talent level. Like when I think you could see them getting swept by like Evansville or, you know, really struggling against Indiana State, for example. It just seems like one of those teams that's going to be super in flux, like very much struggling to find an identity. I think they do have talent, but I don't think that they are going to be able to put it all together all like at the same time and just be consistent. I don't think that they're going to be able to be consistent. So for me, Bradley is definitely a back half team. I think putting them at 6 is like a little overshooting them. I think they're more like 7-8. But I think they will have some games where they go out and impress. Like for instance, they ended up beating Drake in their last regular season game and no one thought that they'd be able to do that. So, I'm not expecting much from Bradley, but, I think they have some interesting pieces, but, unfortunately they do have a lot of seniors and transfers who are seniors, and they're freshmen, to my knowledge at least, no one is going to be impact players right away. So look for Bradley to be kind of a back half team in the Valley. The next team I want to talk about is Missouri State. Anyone in the Valley who's been watching the past 2 years, at least two or three years, knows that Missouri State always has talent. That's never the issue. They always have great transfers, great returning players, great talent. But it's just a matter of, like, putting it together for them and kind of collaborating with each other. I mean, they have four guys who averaged over 10 points in their previous Division I team. Gage Prim, who averaged almost 17 points a game. Isaiah Mosley, who averaged nearly 20 points a game. Donovan Clay, who's a transfer from Valpo, we know all too well. He averaged over 10 points with Valpo. And then Jalen Minette, who is a transfer from IUPUI, who averaged over 16 points a game for them in the Rising League last year. And that's not even to mention some of their talented like role players like DeMarcus Sharp and Jamonta Black and Keaton Hervey, who's a great shooter. So they do have this super high like level of talent, and it's a matter of putting it together. They're a very experienced team. They have some talent, like sophomores, some talented sophomores. They're just stocked. They really are. Their roster goes 12, 13 guys deep. With people who could get in there and play some quality minutes for them. But it's always been like, what's their identity? Are they just like a run and gun team? Like, do they just want to get out there and score 90 on you every game? That hasn't really worked for them in the past, especially when it comes down to like end of the Valley season leading into the Arch Madness, or the very important matchups that they have. It hasn't really worked for them in those important games. Like, they, you know, they consistently win more than half of their regular season Valley contests, conference games, but they haven't been able to crack the code when it comes to Arch Madness. So don't get me wrong. This team is very, very good. I honestly think I don't think they have a shot to win the league, but they could be as high as number two, in my opinion. Like I mentioned, Gage Prim, probably going to be preseason all-valley player of the year. I don't know. You all know what I'm trying to say. I imagine he's going to be that, or his teammate, Isaiah Mosley. But at the end of the day, I just think it's really hard for them to like pass Drake, Northern Iowa, and us. I think it's going to be really difficult. I don't really see them able to hang tight for the whole season with us, for those three teams. I don't think that they have the identity, talent to beat those three teams consistently, like both times. I don't think they're going to sweep either one. They could split with some of these teams, but I also think that they just have the chance to drop a random game to like to Indiana State or Valpo or something. So I just don't really see them being able to win it all, but I do think they have a really good shot to challenge, to win some tough games, to make it pretty far in Arch Madness. I wouldn't be shocked to see them in the championship game. But at the end of the day, I don't think that they're going to win either the regular season or the tournament. And you can attach that to my name, quote me, Missouri State fans can come back and yell at me. I will admit if I am wrong at the end of the season, but I just don't see Missouri State as having the experience and the finesse to win either the regular season or the tournament. Those are the two teams I want to talk about today. I'm sorry that Luke could not come, was not available for today's podcast. In all seriousness, he is, dealing with some family stuff right now. So, I do believe he will be back for next week's episode. But for now, just was not able to make, today. So, thank you all for dealing with my voice for 40 minutes of your life. I hope this episode was entertaining. I was really hyped and excited to talk about the Chicago Sky. It was just such a fun experience. And we're getting so close to the Valley season, to Loyola starting off. That that first opening day. I imagine there's going to be some sort of celebration for the Sweet 16 run. I don't know. Don't quote me. I don't know if there's a banner, but I would imagine they're going to have something. It will be a fun day indeed to see everyone's faces, or at least their eyes, and their bodies back in Genteel. Maybe, hopefully, or well, definitely masked up. I will be rocking a new Lucas Williamson t-shirt with a new Loyola Ramblers mask. Go support him. Go support Cam Crutwig. They both have stores to buy merchandise from. Go support them. And until next time, always remember, never forget, go Blurs.